morning and welcome to Blether this morning, where we get to understand what is going on in our surrounding parishes, in our area grouping. In Kindo, this week is our Holy Communion Sunday. I think that is the only announcement that we have. The rest new will add on the announcements. Now I hand over to Ian from Cluny and the Money Mask.
Thank you, Tozi. A bit of news from our end. Next Sunday, we will resume worship at Money Mask. And then the second Sunday in May, we will have a joint communion service. Both congregations are having a communion at the same time in Money Mask Church, and we'll look forward to that. A wee bit of advance notice, and you'll maybe be bored hearing about this before June, but for the weekend of the celebration of the Queen's Jubilee, we're having a special afternoon, Saturday afternoon, at Money Mask Church, where we're going to have a cake-off. So all you bakers out there, you can start practicing making cakes and bring them along for our cake-off. And there is a prize. A prize is Prue Leith's book, and Prue Leith has actually produced a certificate that she signed for the Money Mask cake-off. And so that's something for you to participate in. This will be followed by afternoon tea, a walk around the village and a history of the church. So it's going to be a busy day, but anybody can come and submit cakes to be tested. And I think I might be one of the judges, so maybe I'll get widescreen by the time it finishes so that I'll be able to fit in. But that's all the news from us just now. Oh, mainly music resumes after its Easter break this coming Tuesday. So I hand you over now to Neil.
Ewan, that is a brilliant idea. I think I'm going to organize some sort of cooking thing where I can be the judge. That's a lovely idea. Great way to get people to bake for you. hi, folks. Just a personal note from me this week. Last week, I told the congregation at Kintore, and I'm just letting the other group, other folks in the group know, that the session and presbytery have very kindly granted me permission to go on pilgrimage this year. So from the end of May, the 23rd of May, and right through June, my daughter Christine and I will be walking the Camino de Santiago, which is 500 miles of walking across the north of Spain on pilgrimage. So just to say that I'll be away, some folk have asked me whether we're raising funds. We're not walking to raise funds. We're walking for the sake of pilgrimage, but since the opportunity has arisen, there is a charity that we support in South Africa and have done for many years. If you'd like to know how to support that, if you would like to, there is a Just Giving page, which I'll let your ministers have, and we'll pop on our website and Facebook page as well. But at the moment, just to let you know and to ask for your prayers, that mainly that we stay healthy so that we can complete the walk. That's all from me for now. Over to Stella in Chapelgiri and Bedaf.
Good morning to everyone from this north side of the parish. That sounds like an awful long walk, Neil. I'm not sure you'll get too many volunteers to go with you. I hope you're in training. We're welcoming Neil to Blairdaf this Sunday as you're watching this. And the following week it will be communion and our stated annual meeting at Chapel of Giri with Tozi. The stated annual meeting will be when we'll be presenting the accounts and the reports. Not that there's been too many reports of things that have been happening this last year, but just approving those documents so that we can finalise the accounts for the year. And now over to Sheila in Echt and Mar.
Thanks, Stella. It's from the north of our area right to the south. Some quick news from Echt and Midmar. This coming Wednesday, which is the 27th, that will be the care home service at 2 o'clock at Belfield in Bankry. And we're able again to begin taking members of the congregations with us to visit and to talk to the residents and to swell the numbers with the service. If you're interested in going on the last Sunday of the month, whether it's this month, then please get. We would love to see as many folk as possible. The first Sunday of May, the first Sunday in the month, will be worship at Midmar. We worship in Midmar on the first Sunday of the month. Then on the 8th of May, that will be communion in Echt. And on the 5th of May, worship in Echt, followed by a soup and sweet lunch in aid of Christian Aid. Also, last but not least, the date for the next pop-up choir is just being finalised. Have that by this week. So that's in preparation for our joint worship across the parishes during August. So we'll be recording some hymns and some songs for watch this space for more information. But it's back to Tozi.
Thank you. Now we have heard about the announcements. Let us have time to pray for the announcements, pray for our leaders as well. Now this is the time the Lord has given us to worship together. Let us go into worship together. Calvary greetings. Wherever you are watching this joint service from, our call to worship today. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, reveal Yourself to us as we listen to Your word in scripture and preaching, and respond to You in prayer and song. Make Yourself known to us as we recall the stories of our faith and witnesses to the faith we have in You. Help us to recognize You in one another, in the fellowship we share, as we hear and listen to Your word. Help us, our Father, to be transformed in our minds. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
the Word of God. Our reading for today comes from the New Testament, from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 27 to 32. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. In many churches across Scotland and further afield today, congregations will be looking at the continuation of the Easter story as found in John's Gospel at chapter 20. That is part of the lectionary that we use. And while we haven't looked at that in our scripture reading, let me just tell you a wee bit about it, because it does tie in. John's Gospel, the passage that we would have perhaps looked at, tells the story of the first Easter evening, where the disciples were gathered together indoors. The doors were locked, and Jesus appears among them and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his side. He shows them his hands. He breathes on them the Holy Spirit. But Thomas, famous doubting Thomas, who wasn't there, he missed it. And so when the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," he famously said, "Unless I put my hands, my fingers in the hands, or my hand in the side, I will not believe." Well, the friends were gathered together the following week, the first Sunday after Easter, in the same room, perhaps with the door still shut, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." I love when Jesus appears to frightened, confused people. The first thing he says is not, "Why are you frightened? Why are you confused?" The first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." Then he turns to Thomas. He says, "Put your finger here. Put your hand in my side. Do not doubt. Believe." And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." How else could he? He's seen and touched the risen Lord. And Jesus responds to him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe who have not yet seen me." And it's that belief, folks, that I want to concentrate or think about as we turn to the birth of the new church, as told by Acts of the Apostles. And in that short passage that we read today, we have a confrontation between the religious leaders and the new church. But there's more to it than just that conflict. The religious leaders had banned the disciples from speaking about Jesus or his message. They'd made it clear that they thought that getting rid of the man, they would have got rid of the message. But the disciples who had received the Holy Spirit, according to John, and certainly according to Acts by the time this happens, have received the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they're continuing to tell stories. They're preaching Jesus' word. And so they're brought together to stand almost in trial in front of the high council and the high priest. And the high priest questions them. We gave you strict instructions not to teach in his name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. And Peter, he says, but we must obey God rather than any human authority. And you know, folks, that's the bit I want to speak to you about this morning. All of the faith that we have, that we're blessed that we believe, even though we haven't seen and touched the risen Christ. We have that faith that we must obey God in our lives, in our way of life. But you know, I don't know how many times I've read the scriptures, and especially the story of the new church in Acts. And for some reason or other, I've just skipped over this bit. It perhaps says something about where we are in the world. And the bit I'm talking about is, the high priest says, we gave you instruction not to teach in his name. And then he goes on, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and this is a bit now, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. In other words, you're blaming us for Jesus' death. You're telling everybody it's our fault. The leaders are not taking responsibility for what they have caused to happen. Maybe it's because I'm on edge with a lot of things over recent times and the lack of people taking responsibility for their actions, or trying to shift the blame, that this means more to me today than perhaps it's done in past years. My heart is troubled by a rise of populist politicians who will say anything simply to be popular, who will say anything just because they think the audience wants to hear it, who will tell lies, who will tell falsehoods against others, and who will try and stop people from speaking the truth. In our very near history, recent history, we've had in the United States a president who continually told lies, Donald Trump. A president who tried to divide the nation, and who's still trying to divide the nation while out of office, hoping that people will be crazy enough to vote him back in. And God, we pray that that won't happen. We've had in Russia just now the clamping down of anybody who would dare to not toe the party line. The high priest and the "we told you not to teach," and Russia has told their people, "this is what you will believe." No, we haven't invaded Ukraine. No, we haven't committed atrocities against civilians. They did it themselves. Believe us. Don't allow to believe anything else. We have China, where the internet is filtered so that only the state can have influence over people. And yes, folks, even the United Kingdom, what we sometimes, with arrogance, call the cradle of democracy, our democratic freedoms are being taken away by people with untruths, with questionable morals. It seems perfectly at ease now to tell lies and get away with it. And if you're caught, well, just say, oh, it doesn't really matter, there's something more important. And I'm fed up of it. Where is the morality? Where is the truth? Where is the trust? A recent poll I read, so many people didn't trust our politicians. And you and I know that the majority of politicians will be hard-working, truthful people, tarred by a few, and sadly tarred by leadership, who seem to think they can get away with anything. the Jewish leaders thought they could get away with anything. It wasn't us. We weren't the ones that killed Jesus. It was the Romans. They were the ones. Pilate executed him. They were trying to rewrite history only a short while after the execution. Was it not the Jewish authorities that arrested Jesus in the night, that tried him illegally, breaking down all of their normal systems? Was it not the Jewish authorities that took Jesus to be executed by Pilate simply because by Roman law they weren't allowed to do it? And yet, once Jesus had died, it wasn't us. We didn't do it. And how does Peter respond to the pressure trying to be put on him by the state, by the Jewish authorities? Peter says, we must obey God rather than any human authority. And then he goes right to the bone of the question. The God of our ancestors, and he's speaking to Jewish people, that's his ancestors and our ancestors, he's saying. He raised Jesus up, whom you, and he points the finger, you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and saviour, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Then this is the final bit, and we are witnesses to these things. Folks, you and I today are witnesses to these things. We must obey God rather than be twisted and, well, I don't know exactly the word, well, I do know the word I want to use, but I can't use it, by people who are trying to hold on to power. You're trying to manipulate us. We must hold on to the truth. Remember Thomas, who I spoke about with the doubting Thomas? When Jesus, before his arrest, was teaching, he talked about following his way. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know, folks, that's for us is the thing. We must obey God and follow his way. The way of Christ, the way of the cross, the way of sacrifice, the way of love. We must speak his truth. Peter spoke truth to power in that assembly in front of the Jewish leaders. And we too must speak the truth in love, not out of vengeance or bitterness or anger, but in love. The truth that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again and wants us to love our neighbour, not throw them to a foreign country to be processed in some unknown way. That we must follow his way, we must hear his truth, and we must live the life, that life of fellowship, that life together, that life that we are witnesses to of the kindness and love of God. On this first Sunday after Easter, as we still bask in the glow of the resurrection, let Jesus weigh truth and life impact on our lives, that we, as Peter said to the Jewish leaders, we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Amen. And thanks be to God for his word.
Will you join me now as we offer to God our prayers for the world? Let us pray. Gracious God, who hears the cries of the forgotten and sees those who are hidden, draw close. We ask for your loving kindness to surround those who are struggling with anxieties, doubt, or despair. And we pray that they may know your peace. We ask for your unfailing, powerful love to pierce the outer shell of hearts grown hard. For those who once whispered your name, but now seem unwilling to seek you. We pray that your love might compel them to draw near to you once more. We think of those at a loss as to how to cope with even the simple practicalities of life. We pray for your empowering and for others to offer help in appropriate ways so that they might no longer feel alone. Have mercy, gracious God, who defeats death and sin. You overcome the darkness. You cannot be contained. So fill our lives today with the power of your Holy Spirit. And as Jesus taught us, we are bold to pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn today in today's worship is Beauty for Brokenness.
Our prayer for the children.
Light of God, lead us. Power of God, hold us. Joy of God, bless us. Love of God, enfold us. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, now and always.